Welcome to What's Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Matt Story. On this pod, I sit down with people of color leaders to understand how they've been able to use their superpowers to make an impact on our world. And I do it one story at a time. Today's pod is a conversation with Joy Fennell, who is the CEO and founder of The Joy in Beauty. She's also the founder of the All Black Everything Summit, which is where I had the opportunity to get to know her and learn more about her story. And, you know, after spending just 15 minutes, I knew she was someone that I would definitely wanted to have on the podcast. Joy's story is one of just inspiration, energy, and creativity. And for me, you know, she says something in this discussion where she describes it's not enough to just get our seat at the table, but we also have to bring extra chairs for others. And I'm just blown away by how she just continues to have a mindset of just not her own outlook and her own not perspective on things and how she can actually help others. And, you know, as we all went into COVID, many of us had to understand what it meant for our families, what it meant for our professions. And what I really enjoyed about hearing how she approached it was, how could she use the tools she had in a new way? And then not just stop there, how could she actually give those tools to others and help them in their creative journey? So this is one that I really enjoyed, just given her energy and, you know, her infectious spirit, which is one that's just a joy, pun intended, to be around. So let's get on to her story. Okay, so today's guest she's a beauty industry veteran who has a proven track record of helping enhance the beauty that is already within her clients. She's also the founder of the All Black Everything Summit, which is a virtual conference that brings Black creators together and Black innovators together to provide support and resources that help them run their businesses. So I'm really excited to talk with her and hear more about her story. So please welcome Joy Fennell to the show.
Hello, how are you? Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I'm glad they were able to flip the mic from our last conversation when I was actually participating in your summit and you got to ask me questions. So I'm looking forward to letting our listeners get to know you a little bit better and know your story.
Yes, you definitely flipped the script on me there. I was like, oh, okay. Yes, I love it.
So to help the listeners a little bit get to know you, and they may not be familiar with your story, can you share, you know, either a story or a little bit about your background and how you grew up, or maybe give a little glimpse into what little Joy was like?
Sure. So I grew up first I was born in Virginia, and then after my parents were divorced, I moved down to Albany, Georgia. If nobody knows what Albany, Georgia is, it's about 4 hours outside of Atlanta. It's also a really big city in terms of the civil rights movement. So I was raised by my grandmother and grandfather, me and my brother and sister. And we, you know, my grandparents were really strict, especially my grandmother. So little Joy at that point was very shy because it was, you know, my grandmother being strict, it was, don't go talking to anyone basically unless I know them, you know? So it was very much a Southern household, very much, you know, my grandfather was the lead. But my grandmother, trust me, she was feisty now. Like, trust me, she was not going to let someone just come in and tell her what to do either. So it was good. And so then after living with them for about 8 years, we moved up to Maryland to then live with my mom. So it was a change in terms of, like, now, you know, like going and now living with one parent versus, like, now you have two parents. So it was definitely like, you know, starting school, you know, going to school by yourself, or what they used to call it, latchkey kid kind of moment. Yeah. So, yeah. But my mother, you know, definitely was a worker. She didn't play, and it was good. Yeah.
Gotcha. So when you were growing up, did you have any, like, thoughts on what you wanted to be when you grew up?
So I thought I was going to be a director, a film director. Okay. I love film. I love storytelling in film. I love shots. I love the lighting. I love the cinematography. Like, it's a story in there that I really just knew that I was going to do. And then also, when I was a child, I used to draw and paint as well. So that was also another thing. So I was always kind of creative, but I just knew that when I part of the reason why I wanted to be a film director was because I, first of all, I love film, but also because I love music videos. And I was just like, I was that girl that was hooked on those little, like MTV and BET and all those stations. Cause I would look at those little movies and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah. So, but it really changed in college though. I then went to University of Maryland, and during my before my last semester there, I decided to leave school and pursue, well, go out into the real world. And I was like, well, my mother, Mama Fennell, is not going to have that and be like, oh, you're just going to sit around the house? No. So I was like, well, what if I got a job? And then I started thinking to myself, like, well, what am I good at? And I was just like, well, I don't know. And I was like, thinking back, I was like, people used to compliment me on my makeup. And so I walked past the MAC counter one day and I was like, well, what if I got a job doing makeup? And literally the rest is history.
Wow. So going back a little bit, so what caused you to want to leave school?
Well, at that point, okay, so when I first started my college journey, I started at at Howard University, and I stayed there for one semester. I was actually in the School of Communications. My goal was to be in radio, TV, film, but Howard University cost a nice little penny. and let's just say, you know, like whatever scholarships you may have, it did not cover the full tuition. So I then had to transfer to Maryland, which was a state school, but it was honestly, Maryland is a really, really good school. So I transferred to Maryland and I then became, my major was African American Studies. And I think for me, I was just tired. I was like tired of writing, because at that point we had to write a thesis. Even in undergrad, we had to do a thesis. And I was just tired. I was like, I am tired. I am tired of writing. I am tired of reading. I was like, I need a break. And I literally had one semester left. And my mother was like, okay, all right. So if you're going to do this, then what you going to do? And then that's when I walked past the counter and I was like, okay, so let's see if I can make this happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously going from following a passion or following something that you were interested in to actually turn it into career, that can be a bit of a leap for everyone. So I'm curious, as you made that, you know, breaking into the beauty industry, what really allowed you to do that? Or what, was there a moment? Was there someone that helped you? Was there a certain experience or job that got you kind of foot in the door?
So it was interesting is when I first walked past the counter and I went up and I asked if they were hiring, one of the gentlemen working there told me no. So of course I was a little disheartened and I was like, oh, okay. And then, cause I still, you know, had my little shyness. I mean, if you meet me now, you wouldn't think I was shy at all.
Agreed.
Yeah. So you're like, what? Shy? Who? You know? So I walked away and for some reason, this lady in the fragrance department kept looking at me and I'd be like, oh, okay. And so she was like, she pointed at me and told me to come over to her. And I walked over to her and she was like, go upstairs and get an application. And I was like, oh, cause she must've obviously heard our conversation. And I was like, sure. So I went upstairs, got an application. I filled it out. I got a call. From the call, I got an interview. And when I was sitting in there talking to the human resources person, they said, well, we have a couple of jobs available. We have two open positions on the MAC counter. So I sat right there and was like, oh, so he didn't tell me the truth. I said, oh, okay. So now I got to get this job. So yeah. I was like, so now I got to go all full, as my friend would say, Elmo hands on him and make sure that he knows not to play with me. So that's exactly what I did. The crazy part about it is that for a makeup interview, for a makeup position, you had to do a makeup interview. And I had never done anyone else's makeup before in my life, like at all. So I talked to a friend of mine who just literally graduated from makeup school. And I said, can you teach me one look that I can do on you for the makeup interview. So she taught me one look. I brought her. I did the one look. I'm pretty sure she looked a mess. But for some, the manager really liked me and really liked my my personality and offered me the job. And when I got the job and the guy saw me, and I know he remembered me because I saw his look in his face, and I was like, and I just waved at him. I said, hi. So I think along the way, I've had several people who are my angels who show up when I need some like guidance or some help into getting into something. So it has definitely been that type of journey for me.
Gotcha. And what, you know, starting there, getting kind of your first experience doing others' makeup, like how did you then advance and go on and kind of doing your own thing?
Okay. So a long time ago in a land not too far away, they used to have magazines and they had fashion magazines. And in the fashion magazines, you would see the credits in the magazines. So you would see, you could notice a fashion person when they turned the magazine over or to the top. It would be vertical as opposed to horizontal because they're looking to see who is in this credit. So I used to be on the counter, or I'll have a fashion magazine, and I would sit there and I'd be like, how do you get your name in a magazine? Because I was just curious, like, who is this like heaven of names in magazines, and how do you get there? Because I want my name in a magazine. So I literally asked the question, how do you get your name in a magazine? Before it was Google, it was, you know, like we had the internet, the call, the dial-up and all that stuff. And finding information on the internet was not the easiest thing. But I remember I searched name in magazine or fashion. I did something like that. And I wound up finding a class that teaches you how to package your portfolio. At that point, I didn't know what a portfolio was. I had no clue. But I wound up signing up for the class. I took the class. It taught me how to like get pictures, do editorials. And then from there, that's how you start to build your book and start to build your editorial credits and stuff. So, and then once I learned all that, then my quest was then to start getting into fashion. And that's when I would find myself on the bus on my days off, going back and forth to New York to shoot or to assist to get into the fashion industry.
Wow. There's definitely a sense of, I would say curiosity, but also persistence across all those stories. So not letting someone tell you that there's not a job or there's not an open role stop you, but then also not letting lack of information stop you. So I think that's definitely something that's probably held true throughout your career.
Yes, I think so. I think you're right. I think I have always, and I know we'll get into All Black Everything Summit later, but that was definitely, I want other or even younger creatives or just creatives in general to start to ask those questions and to get those answers.
Yeah. So before we get there, I did want to ask, you know, I'm obviously not in the beauty industry, but from the outside looking in, you know, there's obstacles when it comes to beauty and, you know, obviously the Western standard of what's often thought of as beautiful. And so I'm curious, how have you navigated some of those preconceived notions as an artist and also helping your clients find that inner beauty?
Well, of course, we all know it's definitely not easy. Especially a lot of times I would be the only Black person in the room on set, especially in the fashion industry. Fashion is definitely notorious back then for not having any Black people involved in anything. So it wasn't easy. The thing I think for me was I was able to navigate it in terms of my personality. I think that people genuinely wanted me around. You know, and so I think that helps in terms of standards. One of the things that I was always clear on, and I guess that comes from just a lot of my background in terms of being from Albany, Georgia, being around aunts and uncles and everyone who was involved in the civil rights movement. Also, you know, like having my degree in African American studies, I was always adamant that I was not going to contour noses. And I know a lot of people do that. And I recognize why it's why you need it in terms of some shoots or, you know, bringing, because you want to bring like some features forward, some features back. But for me, I was like, your nose is your nose. Like I was always very much against contouring noses because I was like, I don't want, what is this? I need to make your nose smaller. Like that to me is, that was definitely one of my values, one of my core non-negotiables was that that just was not going to happen.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't even know what, that's the first time I've ever heard contouring noses, but I can imagine that that's something that's, it sounds like it's expected or it's kind of like a common practice. Were there any times that that came to a head or that came to like, you know, be a deal breaker where you missed out on an opportunity?
No, I mean, definitely it was like times when it was just like, you know, some models feel more comfortable, whatever, you know, let me say this, whatever some people felt more comfortable, I was like, of course, I was going to try to make them feel comfortable and do, you know, but I would definitely do probably like the slight contour versus the full on beat, you know? So it was just like, it wasn't, my thing is your nose is your nose, your skin is your skin. And it's just like, so how can we enhance that without covering it up and making a mask? Like, I don't want you to be erased.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very powerful like metaphor in there of a mask that, you know, many times people feel like they have to wear, they feel like mm-hmm. they have to put on. I think it was very cool of you to, you know, have that as something that you realize and recognize and pulling from your not only your learned experience, but also your studies and knowing the history there.
Yes.
So you started the Joy and Beauty and you already touched on it a little bit of being, you know, the only Black person in the room, but I'm curious, how has your experience as a Black founder of your company been?
So being a Black founder is definitely challenging. It's not, you know, a walk in the park, but I think that it also goes for founders in general. But being a Black founder, especially, a lot of people don't expect you to bring certain things to the table. They don't expect you to have certain knowledge. And they don't understand, like, I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of things surrounding business. And a lot of times I tend to surprise people, which I don't mind doing, but it's also really sad that that happens because a lot of people don't expect you to have that level of expertise. And when they see that you have it, then okay, they give you the credit. I also want to say, like, a lot of times it's a lot of people don't look at or don't think that you're going to bring anything new to the table. They think like you're just going to just allow them to do whatever in that you don't have. It's almost like an arrogance where they feel like you don't have any say in what happens. And I'm very much not only am I in beauty, but I'm also a Virgo. Like, I'm like, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, this has got to look a certain way in my head and I'm not going to stop until I get it how I need it to be. And I will definitely listen and take from other people that know more than me. But at the end of the day, I'm still like, this is my business and I'm going to do what I feel like in my gut is right. So I just like, so I feel like that is what wasn't really important for me.
Yeah, it's fun. Going back to something you hit on, I think that that actually goes across many industries where no matter what profession you're in, being Black, you sometimes have to credential yourself. Mm-hmm. So whether you're, you know, a business founder, you're a lawyer, a doctor, engineer, you know, any teacher, et cetera. It's almost like as a Black person, in a lot of instances, when you're introducing yourself, you almost have to lead with what you've done just to get the benefit of the doubt, which is unfortunate because it's all of the, you know, subconscious bias that most people come into experiences with that they just assume certain things based on, you know, how you look or, you know, what they think you're going to bring to the table.
And that's so true because at the end of the day, like I recognize that a lot of people, when they see me, they don't think that I know for a fact that I'm not old fashioned, you know, like a lot of people, I am a larger Black woman. They automatically don't think, put these things until they hear me talk. And then they're like, oh, okay. And I could see where, you know, they're visibly like, oh, she's not going to know. You know, like I could see that tenseness in them until I come with the receipts. And then it's like, then it's like, oh, okay, we got it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but I think it's a skill that many of us have had to collect and pick up along the way.
Yes. And also, I think it's also something that I really feel like we just have to know, like, this is what it is. And deal in reality and deal and know that this is what we have to combat against. And so from there, once we realize that it is what it is, we're able to handle it and go out there more. And then that way it'll get changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. So I do want to switch to what you're doing and what you created with the All Black Everything Summit. And I know that, you know, I'm just curious, like, where did the idea come from? And then, you know, starting in a year like 2020, which is the craziest year on record, to start something like that in 2020 is also, you know, a challenge. I would love to hear not only why you started it, but also like, what did you face doing that in such a upside down year?
Yeah. So 2020, like you said, was interesting. And it was the goals for 2020, nowhere. I had All Black Everything Summit was not in the goals. It wasn't even in my mind at all for 2020. I had literally launched the Joy and Beauty website, and I was gearing up to do that. And then I'm still a makeup artist. So I think it was in March. That's when we started getting like stay at home orders. And I was at home and I was like, okay, so I'm at home. How am I going to, you know, navigate this? So I was like, okay, one of the things I really want to do is start to do Instagram lives and stay active, you know, stay active, stay at least talking to someone through the internet, you know? So I started doing Instagram lives where I would interview people, and it was really interesting. And I was making really good headway on that. And it was an experience. So for some reason, one night I could not sleep, and I was like, well, why can't I sleep? And I was like, I kept wondering, how are Black creatives handling this situation? Because I know that this pandemic is going to affect us in a disproportionate way. And I was like, if it affects us in a disproportionate way, how are we going, like, what tools do we have? Because I started looking around and be like, a lot of Black creatives or Black founders in general were not eligible for these grants or not eligible for these programs from the government because our businesses were not in order. A lot of times, like, unfortunately, you know, we tend to not do the proper channels. I mean, a lot of businesses do that, period, no matter what color you are. But what I'm looking at is I'm looking at my people and I'm like, a lot of us, I feel like, aren't doing the proper channels. We're not getting the business bank accounts. We're not setting up the LLCs or the S-corps. We're not getting the tax numbers, tax ID numbers. So for me, I was like, well, how can we come out of this now that we are kind of at home, stay at home orders? How can we actually come out of this in the black as opposed to in the red? So I was just like, oh, I'm going to do a summit. And I was like, and I'm going to invite all these industry people to do the summit. And we'll talk about this and talk about business and talk about how to also navigate this industry as a Black creative. And I really focused on fashion and in the photo and fashion industry at first. And I was like, and so because I really wanted to know how is everyone handling this? Partially from my own curiosity, but also because I was like, I know if I'm going through this, I'm like, who else is going through this? So let us all come together and find a way to create value for people so that they can take it and then use that to legitimize their businesses.
Yeah. No, I like what you did there, like coming through this and ending up in the black, and then also it being the All Black Everything Summit. I can't even fathom the behind the scenes work that needs to go into coordinating something like that, because as someone that was able to participate in it and to see the high quality level that you delivered on, it wasn't just I'm going to have a summit and throw this together. Like you had you know, you had best in class everything. And so kudos to you for not only the initiative, but also seeing it through, because I'm sure so many people took away so many different resources and tools that are going to not only help them during this time, but hopefully help them come out even stronger when we do see the world, you know, turn a little less upside down.
Well, I thank you so much for that. Now, you were a participant in the second one. The first summit was like, I mean, when I tell you that I look back now after the second summit, and I told one of my friends, I said, how was I able to moderate each panel for the first one? I was like, I don't even know how I did that. I don't know. I think it was just like, so I'm really happy and really honored for you to say that, because it really was blood, sweat, and tears to make sure everything, I guess that's part of my Virgo quality.
Well, that's a good pivot point, because one of the things we did talk about was the power of personal brand, mm-hmm. and recognizing that we are all brands. And so I'm curious, what would you say the brand of joy is?
I feel like the brand of joy is a lot of things. I feel like, one, it's fun. I feel like, two, it's, I like a little quirkiness. I mean, I have a little quirkiness. I think everyone has a little quirkiness in them. And I love that. I feel like, you know, why hide it? Like, we're a little quirky. And I'm like, okay, I like quirkiness. I also like kindness. I want, you know, I feel like, especially nowadays and how everything is coming about, I feel like a lot of us have forgotten what kindness looks like, what grace looks like. And I feel like that is part of it for me. I love smiling. I love laughing. I want, you know, I know there's so much stuff going on in this world, but I want all of us to become, you know, to be inspired by each other and to also communicate. So I definitely feel like communication is part of the brand of joy.
Yeah. So that's the brand that people experience. One of the things for me is I truly believe that anyone that has had to experience the world through the lens of being underestimated, being undervalued, whether that's, you know, because of your color of your skin, because of your gender, because of your ability, because you know, many other things, that you develop superpowers. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, what do you think have been, you know, one or two of the superpowers that you have collected through your experiences that allow that brand to show up and to be that fun, to be that quirky, to be that connector of bringing people together?
That's a great question. So I really feel like my superpower is making a way out of no way. Because I feel like our people in general, and that I definitely feel like that's where I get this lesson from, is creating without the tools to create. And I feel like that is the ultimate level of creation, because a lot of time, like I remember as a child, and it wasn't that I couldn't have crayons. My grandmother just wasn't going to pay for no crayons. How about that? So what we would do is we would take old little stubs from, like, I guess, school packs of crayons and melt everything together. And then that would be our crayon, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just mm-hmm. like, so, and I would draw with that. So it was just like making a way out of no way, like really figuring out like how am I, just like me getting into the industry, how am I going to get in this industry, even though somebody told me that they didn't want me there? I'm going to figure it out. And when I figure it out, I'm going to send you a nice little wave and say hello, because you tried to check me out and now I got to come for your job, you know?
I
really think that is my superpower, is making a way out of no way.
And that is a transferable superpower that works no matter what you're doing, that helps you. So I want to look back at some of your experiences in your journey. Have you had a Mama, We Made It moment?
Okay, so when you say Mama, We Made It, yes, actually I have. Yes, I've had a few Mama, We Made It moments. I would say the first one would be, so when I first started in makeup, I wanted to work on fashion shoots. I decided, this is when I would go back and forth from Maryland to New York City to assist on my days off. And then right when my days off, right when the day was over, I would come right back on the bus because I would have to work the next day. So So one day, Mac used to have these master classes, and they had one of my favorite artists was teaching a master class. And I was like, oh, I got to get there before everyone else so I could help her set up. And that's exactly what I did. I got there before everyone else. I was like, hey, do you need some help setting up? And so she needed help setting up. And I was like, and I just knew, I was like, I'm going to wow her. She's going to bring me on her team. And she did. And my very first fashion show, or my very first soiree into the fashion world, it was me working on the Victoria's Secret fashion show. And I was like, and that was definitely a mama, we made it moment. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then also another mama, we made it moment. See, right when I became, you know, like started this journey, my mother was like, you know, she supported me in whatever I wanted to do. But of course, I'm sitting up there saying I'm gonna leave college to go and put some makeup on people. and she's gonna be like, what? So when I first got my first cover, she definitely was really proud and was like, oh my gosh. And so she bought like 10 of the magazine and couldn't wait to show people, was mailing them out to people. And I was like, a lot of times I tell creatives, I'm like, your parents or whomever might not support your dream right now. I said, but just give them a little something to brag about to their friends and they'll be good. You'll be good after that. So that is what my other mama, I made a moment.
Yeah, that's dope. So if someone were looking at your path and they, you know, they see similarities in where they want to get, and it may be in the beauty industry, it may be in just breaking into a new industry in general, what would be the roadmap or maybe the first step you would suggest they take to get from where they are today to getting closer to that dream?
So I think one of the main things I would say is definitely learn the industry in terms of like read about everything, know your references, know a lot of times when you're on set, a lot of people don't realize that you need to know about old films. You need to know about trends from back in the day, like cat eye, or you need to know your different genres of makeup. Like say, for instance, you have a cat eye, or you have just a regular black eyeliner. A lot of people don't realize that the eyeliner can change depending on how you angle it. And it could bring off, like you could have a 70s eye, you could have this, so a lot of people don't realize you have to know your references, you have to know your history. So I would say definitely start learning your references, start learning historical context. But then also I would say bring a level of curiosity too, to whatever product, project you work on, because that is really, really big. A lot of people don't ask enough questions. They go and they do jobs and they don't really ask all the questions they need to ask. So I think like that is a really important, like ask questions, know your references, and from there. And then also what I also feel like a lot of creatives, especially now, don't really do is they aren't really big on creativity. I feel like a lot of creatives have gotten so used to looking at references to where they are copying references and not using the references to inspire them. So I feel like that is another thing. Make sure you're adding your touch. Like make sure your voice is being heard or being seen on someone's, like, who are you? What's your point of view? So I think that that's really important.
Yeah, no, those are all great. I mean, do your homework and then let that inspire you. So great advice. So before we close out, I want to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
And ask you a couple of questions around just about you. So when they turn your life story into a movie, mm-hmm. who do you want to play you on the big screen?
Oof. Okay. Oh, that's a good question. Oh my goodness. Of course I'm going to say Viola Davis. I'm okay. Going to be like, yes. I mean, like when I saw her Fences performance, I was like, yes. And then who I would love to narrate my story. And I know you didn't ask this question. And I mean, and I know Oprah's older than me, but it would be Oprah if she could somehow just put herself in the time box. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. What would be the trailer of your story, what would be the main takeaway?
I would say, and you mentioned this earlier, I would say the buildup would be perseverance. to definitely go after your dreams no matter what. It would definitely be almost like a, what is it, the come from behind victory of the football game or something. I think I definitely see that as the trailer where you're just kind of crying.
And this is, I'm going to throw another one in there because now I'm curious, because you have a narrator, you got the lead actress, you got the trailer. What would be the lead song or the soundtrack to this movie?
Ooh. Oh my gosh. So Can't Tell Me Nothing by Kanye West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That just brings it all home. That rounds it out well. Mm-hmm. So the reason I do the podcast is because I just enjoy hearing people's stories. I feel like I learn so much. And so from a selfish perspective, I'm getting better just by listening to you. But if you were to sit with three people and they could be with us, they could have passed, to hear their story firsthand, who would be your three people?
So I feel like my first person would be my great-great-grandparents. Okay. Because I'm very much a history buff. I love history. And so I would love to know, like, really, and I would say all of them. Because I would love to know the history of my family, why, you know, like, of course, like, know why certain things are the way they are, understand people better, you know? And I feel like through history, that's how you kind of understand your future, by learning what happened in the past. So I would love to sit with them and talk with them. And so I'm going to say they're like a group. So, yeah. And then my second person would be, let's see. I was feeling like, I think one of them, my second would be like James Baldwin, really sit with him and like talk with him because he's so brilliant, and what he represented to me was so amazing. And I was like, I would love to understand. And I would want to know like what he thinks about what's going on now. So that would be a curiosity of mine. And then the third one, I always tell people it's very controversial, but it ain't controversial to me, but I would say Kanye West, because to me, he is the ultimate creative. And I feel like, and I want to know like what taught him, or how did he learn to just go with and just create in spite of all the noise? So I'm just curious to know, like, and then, you know, just to get to know, like what is his, how is he created? Like, what does he do to create? Because I feel like he's so creative in the way in which he thinks about things. To me, I would love to really analyze that and figure that out. Even though I know he's controversial, touch me, I know that. But yeah. He is, you know, someone I would love to sit down with and talk to and figure it out.
Yeah, I think that, you know, understanding his process would be interesting, because you don't come up with creative ideas by, mm-hmm. you know, being middle of the road and by doing everything everybody wants you to do. So it's kind of two sides of the same coin, that you get some of the things that may be controversial if you want the creativity and you want some of that great, you know, whether it's music, whether it's fashion, whether it's whatever he decides to do next.
Yeah, I think that is what intrigues me, because at some point in creativity, you have to have a level of fearlessness. And I feel like, especially now, people create because they want to make sure that they're liked or they're not. And I'm like, what if, you know, like, how does that affect your creativity? Because you're not creating for yourself, you're creating for others. So So when do you take that back and start to be like, no, this is what I want to do. This is my voice. So that to me really intrigues me about him.
Yeah, I can't remember if I was reading or I was listening to a masterclass or something. And the whole concept was, what if you lived your life as if you couldn't fail? What would you do? And I like, that's what he does. Like, he is not afraid of pushing boundaries, not afraid of going into territories. And because of that, you're going to have some missteps. You're going to have some controversial, you know, takes. And there's some things that I obviously don't agree with, but again, like, in order to push the boundaries, you got to figure out where the line is. That's what I think a lot of us, we sometimes constrict our own creativity by staying inside the box. So
yeah, well, I was going to say, it intrigues me because as a Black man, that intrigues me. I'm like, how did this Black man have this thought process, you know? And I'm like, and that is why I want to talk to him. Like, where did you get that from? What, you know, like what shaped that, you know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. So is there anything I didn't ask that you want to share or anything you want to ask me?
Yes. I mean, I'm always curious to know, what is your story, Matt?
So that is a in-depth question. And everyone keeps telling me I need to do one of these where I share my story. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the condensed version is okay. That I am trying and have been on a path to make my tribe better.
Okay.
And what that means for me is anybody that is a part of my family, my community, my organization, my team, I want to see them win. Mm. And I want to do anything in my power to help with that. And, you know, that could be me sharing experience. It could be me introducing them to someone. It could be me getting out of the way, no matter what it takes. Like that's what I'm on a journey to do. And so my story is right now, it's all about finding ways that I can make my tribe stronger. And, you know, that extends, you know, both personally, that extends professionally and to hopefully everything I'm doing. So, yeah, so that would be my short version. Obviously, there's a number of things behind that to drive it, but yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. I mean, that is really important, especially like now, like I really feel like that's the key is teaching and community and supporting and just being there for one another. I love that.
And I think the thing for me is that, you know, we all got here, you know, obviously through hard work and, you know, doing things that were difficult, but most of it was really because someone came before us and they laid the groundwork. And so one of the things that came up in, you know, last season that I take to heart and I hold very near and dear to any decision I'm making is that we are the future ancestors. Mm. And our decisions are going to determine what people do in the future or how they're able to do things in the future. And so mm-hmm. even if you look at something, you know, along the lines of our new vice president, mm-hmm. like she said, you know, she's the first, but she doesn't want to be the last. And so, you know, having that perspective, I think is important because we can get so focused on ourselves and what we're trying to do that we sometimes forget that it's just as important to lay that groundwork for helping the next person, helping the next young up and comer that wants to do what you do or has the opportunity to do even better than what you did, whether it's in your family, it's in or beyond. So for me, that's what I spent a lot of time thinking about lately.
I love that. I think that definitely goes because one of the themes for All Black Everything was build your own table. But I also add the caveat, but bring chairs. Because a lot of times we find, or I find, or I see that it becomes like a lot of people become the person that they fought against, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, mm-hmm. don't be that don't then become that gatekeeper. Like then bring other people, like you don't like to only be the only person to me is like, that to me is you're taking care of yourself. I think like that is where now community, you need to think in terms of the community. How am I going to help the community? And help the community is don't just close the door behind you. Now it's time to bring other people and everyone have seats at those tables. Like why just have one person? Why being the only person is not fun. You know, mm-hmm. it's not fun. And it's just like, so why not have, you know, like other people around you that now everyone can eat, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I love that.
I love that idea of bringing, not only getting your seat at the table, but bringing chairs. Mm-hmm. Great way to think about it. So I'm gonna let you go, but you know, I appreciate the time. You're gonna get me so much credibility with our oldest daughter because she's really into makeup now. Oh. And so this may be one of the episodes she'll listen to. It'll hit home. So I appreciate that as well. But before I let you go and to get on with your day, if anybody wanted to connect with you, where should I send them? How can they learn more? How can they find out more about what you're up to?
Sure. So if you want to connect with me, you could visit thejoyinbeauty.com, thejoyinbeauty.com, or also we have the allblackeverythingsummit.com website too. Both of them also have Instagram pages, which are the same. It's literally the Joy in Beauty or All Black Everything Summit. And that's how you can find me on basically everything.
Awesome. Well, I'll include those links in the show notes, and I'm sure people want to follow and be up to speed on what's coming next from you, because you've already done a lot of great things. I'm sure you have many, many great things to come, but I appreciate you taking some time to share your story.
And I want to say thank you to you, Matt, for inviting me on. I really appreciate it. Like I said, you flipped the script on me and it was well worth it. I had a great time. This was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of What's Your Story podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcasting platform, or you can follow me on any social media platform at Maddie Story, and I'll keep you updated on new episodes. Also, if you're interested in learning more about some of the things I'm up to, head over to mattestory.com and sign up for my newsletter. And lastly, do me a favor, share this with one other person in your network that you think might enjoy it. And don't forget to keep sharing your story.